So Hare Krishna, I want to thank you very much. I can see it is for us a little so many classes, then we have to wash our clothes, then we have to eat, then we have to sleep, then we have to arrive at the venue at the proper time. But you are doing all very, very well. I wanted to today come to an important part of my little presentation. As you might have heard, or might assume, I'm presenting really based on this book, The Living Name. Unfortunately, the moment the book comes out, it disappears, because so many devotees wish to have a copy, and it's very fulfilling as an author that you are interested in the subjects which are presented. We tried to bring as many as possible to India, and there was also even an attempt to print in India copies which could not be realized so quickly. But I can really, for the first time in life, I can say this is something which is of value for my audiences. And I would request you to just order it online if you can't obtain a copy here. There will be a few copies. I don't know if there are copies left, but if there are, then there is a book table just outside after the program. Just a little summary on what happened. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? But before speaking, actually, I wanted to... No, I've paid my obeisances by singing. The first presentation, the first session, was based on a very important spiritual principle. And that is that the totally and all spiritual form of the Lord, His name, His pastimes, are so beyond us that our material senses can't actually conceive or grasp them. It's almost like when you asked a blind man to see the beauty of a landscape, his senses are not equipped, because he's blind, to see colors and forms and so on. In the same way, our material senses are just not able to relish the Holy Name. But the Holy Name can, if he is pleased with our sincere efforts, reveal himself and descend or come down onto our tongue, our heart. At first, actually, it's interesting, when the Holy Name descends, He doesn't come on the tongue. That's a mistake. He comes first in the heart. You feel Krishna's arrival in the heart, not in the tongue. It's not that you have a taste of Krishna like you have a taste of a rasgulla or something. No. The only place which is equipped to understand something of the Lord is the heart, because already He's there in the heart as the Paramatma, and already you are there in the heart. In the heart is a very fine border between the material and the spiritual dimension. And those to whom the Holy Name shows mercy are allowed to cross over this border and then meet him in the heart, my dear devotees, in the heart. And from there, he comes onto the tongue. It is the name is a prema-filled thing. It's like this. The holy name comes down like a waterfall, enters the heart, and from there shoots out of the mouth. Almost like a waterfall which falls on a stone and then jumps out and sprays all over. That's the holy name. When we meet a person where the holy name has entered into the heart, we are most fortunate. That person will be moved when he chants. He will feel ecstasy because the Lord is there in the heart. He will cry and his tears will come down and fall on his feet, and then there will be footprints which you can find. He walked a great soul. He had the Lord had revealed himself. But material senses, for this is not possible. The heart has to be purified, and then the holy name appears. In unpurified senses or unpurified heart, the Lord cannot be perceived. So how then can we ever hope to cross that border to real chanting? Now many of us are trying, but the name has not yet appeared in the heart. He's waiting. He's waiting for one thing. Say one mukhe, that you turn to the Lord with service. Therefore, what do we do as the service when we chant the holy name? We use our body, yes, right? What do we do with our body? We sit properly, respectfully, then we vibrate the holy name, then we hear correctly. Then what else do we use? Mind, what do we do with our mind? Think about everything else than chanting. No, that was wrong. What do we do with our mind? Bring it here, focus. Krishna tells to Arjuna, there are two things which help you to control the mind so that it can focus. Anyone remembers? Practice, and there was someone said one practice, active concentration, passive reception was one thing we learned. That was new for many of us. So we practice again and again. The name should be listened to again and again. And then if you want to ever control your mind, you must learn the second thing which Krishna said. Detachment. Or that means you must say no to the mind. Ignore the mind. I want to tell you something. Can I tell you something honest which you will not put in the internet? Tell. Yesterday, when Indradumna Maharaj started his chanting, girls have to chant louder than the boys, or the boys have to use their male shakti and chant louder than the girls. Then my mind went, where is it in the Shastras? And my mind began to think, this is, and began to talk. Who's interested in you? I'm not the mind. He is a preacher. Let us joyfully receive his gift to all of us. And I ignored the mind. Then it came to dancing, and I thought, dancing, I'm so tired. said the mind. I'm so tired. Don't dance. It's not your style. Don't dance. So on. I said, I'm not interested in you at all. You can go to the moon. Leave me alone. I will dance. Ignore the mind. No. Vairagya. Detach from the mind. This little word you have to learn in relationship to your mind. No. I'm not following you. This is very boring. You are. Come back when you have something positive to say. Yes, very important. Krishna's recommendation when we chant. Abhyasa, practice, we control the mind, and detachment. When it goes somewhere, we say, no, I'm not interested. What else do we turn, give in service to Krishna? Heart. What do we do with the heart? Open the heart, one devotee says. What else can we do? Pray, yes, that's a practical way. And then we come into a devotional frame of mind. And then that's how, when Krishna then sees, oh, this devotee is trying sincerely. He's trying to be there in the kirtan. He's trying to please me. He's trying to sing for me. He's turning to me. Yes, my God. No, Krishna doesn't say my God. Maybe he says in Braj. Then Krishna becomes highly, highly pleased and says, let me give some mercy to this devotee. This was the first session which we learned, and I requested you to apply it, and I saw yesterday in the forest and also in the evening kirtans in which I was participating, at least, that you had really done first class work. I must say this, you are really, I'm very happy to say, you are a very serious group of devotees who comes to this retreat. So today I want to go a little higher. And I want to ask you first a question. Who are you? Have you ever thought about this question? I know we hear in the lectures, I'm not the body. We don't believe it when we leave out the lecture, because we do eating, we sleep, we take care of our plans, the mind. Who are you actually? I mean, don't give a theoretical answer. Have you ever thought about the question who you are? When you are in the normal consciousness, and there is not much of a difference between, let me say, a normal person and someone who starts his spiritual path. We are so much following our mind, what we like, what we don't like, that really we are not connected with our spiritual Atman, our soul, which is beyond the body and the mind. I'm often asking devotees, what if it is true that you are the soul? And devotees are shocked. What? How do you mean if it's true? Yeah, would that change your life maybe? And I said, I have an even more disturbing question. What if it is true that there really is a Krishna? I'm not saying it is true. I'm just asking a hypothetical question. My dear devotees, real chanting has to take place on the spiritual platform. on the platform of the soul. The soul wants to chant. The material body does not want to chant. The material mind does not wish to chant. It is the soul who wants to do seva, not the body. The body is interested to be interested in its own upkeep. There's a very nice book. It is the Prema Vivata by Jagadananda Pandit. And he has written in this book about the change of perspective once a person understands, I'm not the body and I should now start a new life. And this is what he says. The living entity, that's you and me, wanders in the material world taking one birth after another. If by chance he comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes immediately knowledgeable of his true identity as a pure spirit soul and eternal servant of Krishna. Then he becomes enlightened by this knowledge and he does not want material entanglement any longer. He thus laments, oh no, oh alas, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? I remember when I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, it was in London, and Srila Prabhupada would deliver lectures for a few weeks, I think, and I was there, and all of us, and my friends started to find out where I was, and they came to London to convince me to return back in time to continue my high school. And there was one person. Her name was Hannah. Hannah. Now I remember. Just now I remember at Giri Govardhan. Who came from a very good family, a family of means, and who had watched me carefully over the years. There was not a relationship, but she was genuinely interested in my welfare. I could see that. She was a little older than me, and she was a very awakened person. She had no interest, like boy and girl interest. I have to make this clear. Because she was in another relationship and eventually married that person. It's a very good marriage. She thought this is a good person, but he is very mystical and maybe he goes in. He needs people to be there. So she came. And she said, I think you think of not returning back to Germany. I just feel that. Is it true? I said, yes. Why not? And I remember at that time saying, I had heard from Srila Prabhupada for a few weeks now, see, the problem which we have in Germany is we don't know who we are. This problem we have also in England. And based on our ignorance, we are engaging in ignorant activities. It's almost like someone who's in the lunatic asylum, who's crazy and who has forgotten, and all what he does now, he has forgotten his identity, is just a sheer waste of time. And it does not give us the taste which we are looking for. I remember I said this with deep conviction. Therefore, I'm thinking to stop my high school, to stop my, to leave my family, and to become a monk. Wow! And how are you so sure, if I may know? And I said, honestly, I sit with this great saint. Every day I listen to a lecture of him, and slowly, I am becoming convinced that I am not the body, but I'm a part of Krishna. And I can't explain to you from where I'm so determined, and from where I have this security, and from where, because it's new for me also, this knowledge. But I'm very, very convinced, and I feel very good the moment I make a decision based on I will serve the Lord. I will serve this person. I mean, I'm feeling very much in anxiety, very frustrated if I think, oh, I have to go back again to the school. Yes, she said, you were always bored in school. No, this is entirely different. Yes, it's not that because yes, it's true, I don't like school. I don't like any control. But this is totally different. Please, you have to hear him. And then Hannah came the next morning. Prabhupada gave a lecture. And she said, oops, I'm very interested, but I'm also scared. If I come again, I will go back to Germany now. I'm already destined in another course. I'm promised to the son of a rich family, and I'm quite interested in this path. Please leave me alone. Yes, I smiled and said, it works for everyone. So this is what the ancient scriptures talks here. If you meet, if by chance one comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes immediately knowledgeable of his true identity. Then he becomes enlightened by this knowledge, and he does not want material entanglement any longer. Oh no, alas, he says, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? My dear devotees, we may, each one of us, need from time to time this infusion by a saintly personality. That's why in the Govardhan retreat we wish that everyone hears from Burijan Prabhu. Saintly personality. And I would like to recommend to you, hear from time to time a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. Hear it, and you will have an infusion of knowledge, which is not just here on the mental platform. It will enter your heart and change your sense of identity, who you are. And if that has changed, your whole life changes. If it's true that I'm not this body, then I'm free. I have my own life. At such a time, one bitterly regrets and cries out, Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has become completely devastated. My dear devotees, you were love beyond all limits. You once loved beyond all limits. This is your relationship with Krishna. You have now fallen out of this into this material world. And having left that shelter, having left that relationship, having left that ecstasy, that bliss, that love, you suffer miserably, and you don't even know why you suffer so much. You think it's because there were not enough grains in the prasadam today, or I have dysentery, or this person has disappointed me, and so on. So the moment someone turns to Krishna and says, "Yes, I left you, my Lord, and my life is now devastated. I'm like a hand which is hacked off, check, from the body, and it crawls a little like in a horror movie, soon to be still and die." When Krishna sees you turning to him like this, he's very merciful. He immediately makes plans to free such a soul from the bondage and give him shelter. And the way Krishna releases you from material bondage, he puts a spiritual strength, a spiritual shakti in your weak soul, a strength by which you can now start to go. In our youth, we saw one movie where there was a dead person and they put some electrical wires, and choom, the wires came there. Everything started to move, and then he went away from the surgery table and happily lived afterwards. No? It's a hope of modern medicine that they can do this one day. But this is what Krishna does to each conditioned soul. He gives the spiritual strengths by which he can make spiritual decisions, by which he can actually say to the influence, "Can I please ask that insensitive photographer to put the photo apparatus down and listen?" Good. So, Krishna will give us a very, very good strength that will... The strength means we move forward in devotional service. We want to do service for Krishna. And we are actually strong enough to say no when Maya comes and tests us. Krishna knows the pain and pleasures of all of us. And Krishna, who resides in our hearts, my dear devotees, wants that we come to him. But we cannot cheat Krishna. Krishna will see what we really want. And when our desire, and the way he finds out is, he sends Maya, Hare Krishna, who covers us and who makes gives us offers which are just to our, according to our secret desires. And then at that time, Maya, a soul is covered, and it is pulled or dragged or pushed by the Maya force. No, but if a devotee is sincere And he understands, I'm tested. Maya has come with her Avaranatmika Shakti, her covering Shakti. Maya has come with her pushing and pulling Shakti. Then that devotee will, but I will not follow Maya. Then Krishna gives him strength. Every genuine chanter can experience this in almost every kirtan which is musically not very developed. At that time, one becomes restless. Oh, how long do I have to suffer? Then when you understand, no, the holy name is here. I'm just at this moment covered a little bit with Maya, and I'm pushed and pulled by my mobile telephone to look at my WhatsApp news. But I will say, no. Then we can move forward with strength. Krishna sends Maya to test us so that no pretender comes to his lotus feet. And when you're tested, be happy. Say, yaha, now I will stand up to my true convictions, and you will go through it. Krishna becomes at that time active when he sees you. The Lord makes the soul strong with his transcendental internal potency, and the overbearing power of the Lord's spiritual potency weakens Maya's influence over the living entity. Well, this is how it works. My dear devotees, what I'm now wanting to share with you is a higher level of breaking out of the mental chanting, of breaking out of the chanting where you don't feel the kirtan rasa, and come to a higher level. And that happens only when you sincerely wish to break your relationship with Maya, your Maya Sambandha. You don't want to be entangled any longer in material life. And you want a relationship with Krishna. And my dear devotees, it only happens through the force of repentance. Repentance comes from an insight that I have actually lived a wrong type of life. I am becoming entangled. I'm here even in the land of Vrindavan, and the land of Vrindavan is, I'm trying to do bhajan, I'm on the retreat, but I don't feel anything. I'm still self-absorbed, like I was before. I'm still finding faults with devotees and with the environment. And when my comfort is a little bit, even a little bit challenged, I'm becoming unsettled. So when a devotee is honestly self-introspecting himself and sees these things, he repents. Oh Krishna, what have I done? Oh Krishna, I know without your mercy, I just can't move forward. And at that time, his feelings become so strong that he is even willing to cry. Not willing, this is not a willful arrangement, that tears come out of his eyes. There's a very, very nice part in the Bhagavatam where you remember Krishna had called the gopis into the forest of Vrindavan for the rasa dance. And the gopis had prayed for this since they were small little girls. It was their highest aspiration that one day they would meet Krishna in an undisturbed atmosphere, and they would be with Krishna without being observed by the rigid society, and they would express their love in various ways. They felt very excited when the Lord called them by his flute it signaled them, "I'm ready now to fulfill your desire. Please come." So when the gopis arrived, Krishna spoke externally in a way that discouraged them, and he told them, "You have most probably come in the forest of Vrindavan to see the beauty of the Vrindavan forest in the night. You have fulfilled this mission. You have seen the moon and the forest. Now please return home, because it's not virtuous. It's, if girls stay with a young boy in the night in the forest, please return, follow Dharma." The gopis looked at Krishna and they said, "O our Lord, you know why we have come. You have called us to come. We have come now. Give us shelter. You are the original Lord. Like Lord Narayan, who never rejects any worshipper or sends any worshipper back who comes to his lotus feet, you should also not act contrary to your true nature." Then after many things happened, and then Krishna started the rasa dance with them, and the gopis felt to be the most fortunate beings, or the most lucky, the most qualified beings in the universe. And you know, there's one thing which Krishna doesn't like, that is that his devotees become proud. I remember in our ISKCON movement, we also became once very proud, and we thought, especially in Germany, we are the best people, really. We don't eat meat. I remember I had to be pulled from the street by my godbrothers because I gave fiery lectures about the evils of meat eating to 100 very ferocious Germans who felt angered by my aggressive preaching. Devotees had to pull me off the streets. Even in London, they had to pull me off the streets because I went like, "You rascals, you fools, you meat eaters, and don't you know, murderers, etc." And I felt to be most qualified. But later I read something where Prabhupada said, "You are fortunate. You are made fortunate by meeting a spiritual master." You know, when you think you're the best, it's all about you. When you think I'm fortunate, it's all about the person who bestowed his mercy upon you. So yes. So the gopis felt a little proud, and Krishna left them. After Krishna had left them, the gopis wanted to find Krishna, and they went searching all over the forest. But soon they understood that the more they searched, Krishna was not present. And they concluded, "Krishna doesn't want to be found by us. He hides. And with our attempt to catch him, we just drive him more in the forest. And the forest has these sharp stones and thorns. The Lord will hurt himself." No, we don't want the Lord to be hurt by us. So they went back to the Yamuna and did Sankirtan. They chanted together Krishna's name, because they had heard that Krishna likes when one sings his name. That's one of the qualities of our Lord. You should know this. He likes if others sing about him. That's him. There's in Sanskrit, Jiva Goswami gives a few shlokas where he says, yes, the Lord likes to be praised. You know, when we are praised, we go, oh no. And internally we scream, more, more, more. Krishna is, he, let me say, bluntly, openly, likes to be praised by his devotees. He just, and he is praised for his strength, for his beauty, for his extraordinary qualities, his activities like this. And he likes it. He feels drawn unabashedly, you know, without being ashamed. He's because that's yeah, who else to praise than Krishna? So the gopis did this. But do you know what? When they did Sankirtan, Krishna still didn't appear. Because there is no method, not even chanting the holy name, which induces forces Krishna to appear. Krishna cannot be impressed by your many rounds. Krishna cannot be impressed by your self-made austerities. I got a letter this month and someone said, my husband ate only potatoes in the month of Kartik. And I said, Krishna will just be there and shake his head and think, does he think he can win my favor by eating potatoes? What a crazy idea. We conditioned souls who are so self-absorbed think what impresses us, that is, if I only eat potatoes, that must also impress God. But the Lord goes like, he's very young in spiritual life. No, we are impressed when someone eats only potatoes, because, anyways, not so important to talk about this concept. Sometimes I wonder if the Krishna shakes his head, thinking, what, they think they can attain me by this? You can't even force him by many rounds, by many this and that. It is not, God is never under the control of any living entity. But when the Lord sees that someone sincerely cries for him, repenting his past foolishness of having turned away from Krishna, then the Lord is pleased. He is interested in love. And this crying for Krishna and repenting that I was absent-minded, that is a display of love, which is not self-centered any longer, not love for myself, but it is something which is in relationship to Krishna. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna just how much he appreciates someone who chants. I have the wrong quote here. He says to Arjuna in another quote, which is not, which I have not found here. He says, "O Arjuna, I tell you truthfully how I can be purchased. I can be purchased by someone who chants my holy name and who cries for me." this is how I can be obtained by a soul. This is how Krishna responds. Now, this all Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. One moment. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I think we just have a power cut and we run on generator, so it should be soon there. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare. I think if I talk loudly like this, it's difficult to hear me, isn't it? You can hear? Good. Then just let us be a little bit more focused. But this, in order to turn to Krishna, to the extent that we actually cry for Krishna, repenting our absent-minded nature, my dear devotees, you only can come to this stage by hearing from a saint about Krishna. The Bhagavatam gives us an example which is often quoted in sacred scripture. Again and again, listen about Krishna. Do you know, do you remember what we're talking about? I don't know why you laugh, but I will get to know, yes. If you ever want to come to a place where you think Krishna is not a theoretical God, but a real God, and he's there for me and making arrangement for me, you do need to repeatedly hear about Krishna and repeatedly again and again chant. Because at that time, Krishna, who is there in the heart, will say, oh, he's interested in me. Come on, come on now. Come closer. Come come in my close circle. So on. Krishna, in other words, likes to be praised when he is in the heart hearing. He is someone who hears again and again, who chants again and again. Then Krishna personally removes this dullness. Krishna personally breaks down the wall which you and me have built between us and Krishna. This hearing repeatedly from saintly persons is very important because it activates Krishna's mercy in the heart. There's a very nice little example in the Bhagavatam about Rukmini Devi. She lived in the majestic palace of her father, Maharaj Bhishmaka. Narada Muni would regularly visit the palace of her father with his Veena, and he would engage in prolonged narrations about the wonderful pastimes and the forms and the qualities of Krishna. And Rukmini made always sure that she was in the audience when Narada Muni visited and talked about Krishna. She heard things like Krishna is very generous and very, very kind to his devotees, and that gave hope that one day she would obtain Krishna's mercy.
Oh, wants to marry me, made an arrangement to receive the letter very quickly. Do you want to hear some of the content of this letter? It's very romantic. I have heard about you, Krishna, Rukmini said very bluntly. I want to marry you. I don't want to marry a so-called man made of blood and pus. I don't care for that material concoction. I want only you, and I will wait for lifetimes if that is what it takes for you to accept me. When Krishna received this blunt letter, I want to marry you. I don't want to marry a man made of blood and pus. Krishna thought it's time to take action. And according to one, the perspective of Rupa Goswami, because time was extremely short, he mounted Garuda. Because Garuda can fly very fast. So when Garuda came finally to the town, it went very fast. He went like a flash, in which the marriage would take place. He saw how Rukmini was dressed in her marriage outfit and looked extremely enchanting. She was just coming out of a temple. And Garuda turned his head to Krishna and said, "She's very beautiful." It was a fact, because there were some, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur informs us, there were some, there were Shishupal and many, many other kings who had already smelled some, there will be some agitation about this marriage because she wants Krishna, and somehow Krishna will find out, and somehow Krishna will do something. So let us come with our weapons, and if this Krishna should dare to disturb the rightful marriage of Rukmini with Shishupal, our weapons are also there and our armies are there. So it is described when Rukmini entered, came out of the temple, the kings who saw her beauty were so absolutely fascinated that they got a shock and fell down from their elephants and horses. So Garuda's statement, "Wow, she's very beautiful," to Krishna was a truthful statement. Everyone felt it. But do you know what Krishna said? He said, "Garuda, you know that I am not impressed by beauty. I am impressed by love, and devotion." Can you hear this concert of the birds? It's really wonderful. Maybe they comment their own. It's monkeys. Oh, sorry. It sounds to me like... No, you're from Delhi. You don't know. This is birds. Really? Maybe it's birds and monkeys. Monkeys? Maybe they all come to you to plunder you in the tent. to get your iPhones. Ah. So, my dear devotees, that was Krishna's answer. I'm not impressed by beauty. I'm impressed by love and devotion. And then Krishna rescued Rukmini and accepted Rukmini as his wife. Wonderful, wonderful statement of the Lord. So, when you chant, it's not about techniques. It's not about many rounds. It's not about even 16 rounds. It's about chanting while turning to Krishna with that simple, simple mood. Please accept me in your service. And my dear devotees, please have faith in the Shastras. You will only come to that point where you say, please engage me in your service. When you have heard about Krishna, and when your Atma Bhava, that means the sentiment or the natural feelings of your soul are awakened, which naturally gravitate to Krishna. Now, of course, when you take sacred initiation vows, and you have most probably not yet developed this Atma Bhava, this original attraction to Krishna, you're still your attraction is divided between the world and between Krishna. Then it is very good and necessary that you keep to a minimum of chanting the prescribed numbers of rounds, because only then you will develop Atma Bhava. But let us be very clear. The Lord is not impressed by numbers. He is expressed by devotion. Chanting 16 rounds, even when you have no taste, is a sign that you really want devotion, that you really want Krishna. It's also a sign that you have surrendered to a dear servant of Krishna who has requested you to chant 16 rounds, your spiritual master. I'm not saying here we should not chant 16 rounds. No, we must chant. But we must be very clear that our chanting will only be infused with the life of bhakti when we are able to turn to Krishna, which is a result of hearing repeatedly again and again about Krishna, like Rukmini did, who could, without having ever seen Krishna, she had not seen Krishna, she had only heard from Narada Muni, but without this she could say, no, I do not want to be entangled in any other relationship. I want to be married to Krishna only. Thus, this is the result of hearing. It's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. And that is the reason I spoke with Bhurijan Prabhu, why he wants to share with you during this Japa retreat how Lord Chaitanya acted towards his devotees and how devotees acted towards Lord Chaitanya, because then you can feel a little bit Krishna is wonderful, Lord Chaitanya is wonderful, and you will awaken genuine devotional feelings for Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us an easy meditation which leads us into feeling a relationship with Krishna and therefore chanting with some feelings. I have said this many times. He said, the first is, I'm an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna is, and I'm Krishna's eternal servant. See, in this illustration, you see an introspective devotee who looks inside and asks himself the question, who am I? And he comes to the answer, I'm Krishna's eternal servant. I'm a soul. Then the second meditation is, Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. And the third meditation, a devotee who wants to chant, is the material world in which I am at the present moment is a house of correction meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. You know, here you see the same devotee picking up a deep a light and worshipping Krishna, turning to Krishna. So I thought I would guide you a little bit in these three meditations. How is the sound? Can you hear acoustically? Yeah. How is it with the devotees in the back? Can you hear also? Yeah. Wonderful. Are you tired or are you awake?
Awake.
I will see. I request you to sit properly. Take a few deep breaths. And whenever you exhale, exhale a little bit more. By exhaling a little bit more, really emptying yourself, you will also automatically inhale in a deeper way. If distracting thoughts come, let them gently go and return to your breathing. You can either look with a relaxed glance before you, like you can think of an imaginary point 1 meter in front of you. Maybe that's safest. And really, center yourself just by staying mentally with your in and out going breath. When you breathe in and tell yourself, I know that I'm breathing in. And if you exhale, be aware how the air leaves your lungs. Outside, the monkeys twitter, and inside, your mind twitters, and on the computer is a Twitter program. Let all this go for a while. Just stay with your breath. And now envision in your mind's eye, I am an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. Yes, I'm different from my body and my mind. I'm inside my body and my mind. I'm a servant of Krishna. Krishna is there. the infinite Lord and my only master. You know, for so long we all have invested in so many relationships and forgotten the one relationship. And I'm really only here in this world. In my temple, in my apartment, in my town, in my country. I'm here and there to establish my relationship. The many things I do are, I want them to be service to Krishna or connected with Krishna. And now we will chant in this consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Moment, please let everything fall away from you. All the many labels, all the many concepts, all the many entangling things in which you are, and focus only on this one thing. I am actually not all this. I'm different from the body and the mind. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. And Krishna is my eternal master. My loving master. Awaiting master at times. And really this world is an opportunity, a grand possibility to turn to Krishna. And I shall do this now by chanting His holy name. Please chant now.
Hare Krishna.
Time, please.
Everything in your life gently disappear.
My relationships, my job, my projects, all the unanswered messages, plans, all what occupies my mind. Let it gently and completely slip away. Tell yourself, I'm now for myself. There's no one and nothing in my environment which can distract me. I'm sitting here in this holy place. I have no memories, no thoughts of my life. I'm absolutely safe and absolutely present. Now concentrate on your heart space. This is where you, the eternal spiritual soul, the servant of Radha and Krishna, are situated. There's a great misfortune in your life. You have been absent from your relationship. You have wandered in the world in the repeated cycle of birth and death, helpless, identified with one material body after another, one dream after another. But now your fortune has turned. You met Srila Prabhupada through his books and his followers, and you have learned from him about your actual identity as a pure spirit, a pure soul. You are a resident of the spiritual world, a member in the kingdom of love, an individual soul who is completely separate from the gross and subtle body. And now you can take up your eternal real life service to Radha and Krishna. Let us sing.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Krishna. There was a very saintly Vaishnava lady. Her name was Archana Murti. I had to has anyone of you heard about Archana Murti? Archana Vigraha, thank you. Archana Vigraha. And she was a very good artist and was well known in South America. In South Africa, thank you.
In South Africa, as an accomplished artist. So when she
when she came to Krishna consciousness, she actually took to the service of painting for Krishna. But then, after some time, a deadly cancer stroke, and she came to Vrindavan to spend her last days in the holy town. And at one stage, Velvisha visited her, and she told him a very deep realization. She said, previously, I thought I'm a painter for Krishna. Now I understand the painter is dropped. I can't paint any longer. I'm only for Krishna. No painter for Krishna? For Krishna. I am for Krishna, but I am a painter for Krishna. My dear devotees, the reason why I bring this in and repeatedly bring it in is because for true spiritual practice, you have to come to the reality of your identity, that I am a servant of Krishna. And you have, in some ways, you have to exit out of your own little self-constructed world. Have you ever been in the situation that you had a thought which occupied you? I think we all know this. There was this an unresolved problem in our life, and it's already several emails went back and forth in the attempt to solve it, but it's not yet completely solved. And again and again, you will find yourself writing another clarifying email. Or there is a relationship which went sour, and you are so hurt because you placed so much hopes in this relationship. And again you think about what was said and should maybe not have said. And again, this occupies you. Or a physical pain. This was a mental pain. You know, there may be a dental problem. It's just always with you, and it always knocks at your awareness. Pain, 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 pain. I had this for half a year now. I had 8 teeth, in one brutal dental visit. They were drilled, not removed by Krishna's mercy. For half a year I suffered from a drilling trauma. Not in the mind, in the nerves. You know, it was paining, and the dentist said, everything is all right. It's somehow stored in your nerves. You are a little bit sensitive, it seems. So it was something overwhelming. I could not get rid of this disturbance which came in. This is the world in which we live. There's always something occupying our mind entirely. It doesn't have to be a disturbance. It can be also a romantic pleasure. I'm talking for the young people amongst us. The expectancy of a chocolate cake or something, which is occupying your mind and bringing it away from Krishna. Most of the time we are occupied in our minds and pulled away from Krishna. So the easiest way to really solve that is when you question the platform of this, when you understand, I'm a soul, I'm not of this world, I don't belong here, I belong to Krishna. Let me now chant. And after I've chanted, after you've chanted like...
Krishna, yes, many times, the problems are all are taken care of. Many times... You are when you return, you have
surprising wow, surprising solutions which came. You have to sometimes exit this whole, let us say, constructed, illusory concept. Because believe it or not, you are not the body. It's not something for a 1 hour lecture where we go all because we want to get our prasadam and can't disagree on this point. No! You are something entirely different. You have a different life waiting for you, which is much more fulfilling. And as you chant, my dear devotees, you start to make a realistic contact with that eternal reality where you are invited to be in that. No? We can call it the feeling of being home, spiritually home. This is so wonderful. So therefore, this breaking the false dream of material identification and turning to Krishna and saying, my dear Lord, I'm not very qualified. I'm overwhelmed at the moment with this thought. I'm overwhelmed with this happiness or this distress, but I want to turn to you. It's now my time with you. Entering into this type of sambandha will immediately evoke a response from the Lord when it is done with some urgency, when it is done with some sincere calling. And this urgency, this sincere calling, will come as you hear more and more and more from the genuine saints about the scriptures, about the spiritual reality. I would like to thank you at this stage very much for giving me your... What you can also do for the devotees who look for genuine advancement in their lives. Hear about the spiritual world. Hear about what is going on. Study literature where Krishna's pastimes are described in an authorized way. You can leave the false world best when you know about the real world. Hare Krishna. My God. I need to stop here because we have a surprise for you. This will be really something. I think we will now go do something which will create lasting impressions of Vrindavan. Impressions you can visit in your dreams and in your memory. I request you to all assemble outside. There will be a kirtan party. We will go with kirtan to a very special holy place where all offenses which keep us from Krishna, are forgiven just by bowing down and praying to Krishna. It is Surabhi Kund, and it will assist our chanting very much, especially it will assist what we are going to do tomorrow, that is sit down in Tirthadamba for our 64 rounds day. Hare Krishna.